That's a sign.
Long journey.
A long journey.
Yes.
So in this minute of silence, you come in.
This morning we had somebody who was scheduled there to talk about body awareness and the problem in panic. So we invited Michael Murphy and Mark Lutz to join us, but it's not sure whether they really will arrive and whether they can come. So, there was a necessity to improvise in a way that this one was to for our session. And maybe in the after the break, we have Daniel coming back from Living Roots. we can have discussions on working together. And maybe in this first part, I would like to read you a poetry. And if we have time, Rod Pezler comes up with another poetry that I'll show a video. And this is a poetry called The Union of Shiva and Shakti. And it's composed by somebody called Janeshwar. Of Janeshwar, who lived from 1271 to 1296, so it was only...
Janeshwari.
Here they say, Janeshwari, only 25 years old. Maybe one has to be very, very young, or very, very old to compose this kind of project.
Rudy, I would like to say something in the context, because we feel we are improvising, and I'm very happy that Matthias and Mirka are here again after quite a long break. But I would like to catch, I thought there was also on the subject, we speak about the future of Yuhu, and I thought actually when I came, I thought it would be interesting just to be in the presence of Uhu, and I don't think that we have to fill the space with something specifically. I would have been possibly interested what that gathering brings, what brings us together in this moment, who is present, and I feel it's a very special time.
Yes.
We are in our birthday week, we are between Mother's Darshan and Arvind's birthday, and I would like to actually invoke the moment and be with the moment together,
yes,
possibly instead of filling it with something. We can, if it comes out of that, but I don't see, I think it's precious if we are together in this special time and we can just see what's the meaning for us. And I think it's a very special opportunity if we gather in the name of University of Human Unity, and it so happens that we don't have a specific program set for the day, we could really take a look what it means, you know, what it means to gather in that name or in that context, and what is the energy the different people bring together and why we are here. Mm-hmm. And maybe
I would very much second that, because I had understood that this meeting would be about the future of this. And that's
anyway,
why
it
have
was just for the first part, and for maybe allow Michael Murphy and Mark Fuchs to arrive.
This was just
an introduction.
Okay.
To something.
But because you didn't mention it at all in your introductions.
Yeah.
I just thought we jump into something and fill the space.
Oh, no.
I think we should be, how do you say, we should be present together, and I don't know quite a few people who are here with whom we're sharing this circle, and I think there's potential of the moment very much given.
Okay, so
there was a proposal also long ago that we may come on 29th with the official statement to food. We didn't prepare for it. We didn't really do it. But it's a very special occasion, 29th, and it will be only 4 years after. So I think
we will be ready.
In 2012, we will be ready to depart.
Which ones are new here, this group? Which ones are new?
I'm new, but everybody else is new anyway. So.
Almost half.
Maybe we should at least just go around and say our names.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have to do a long thing, just so we know names and maybe where people are from or something.
Also, in response to your interruption of Rudy's movement here, there's an urge also to use speech to invoke spiritual presence. And this urge through, and poetry is the main instrument for mm-hmm. that, the realization of that urge. And while we have done this we have performed this sacrifice of speech here many times, and and there's always a nice response, we also know that there's a higher level of intensity of invocation and response through speech which is possible. So there is a kind of urge which maybe Rudy isn't even conscious of himself when he says he has a poem to read. Because as when we were planning here on Wednesday, you know, we have a meeting called the Seedlings, and it's called the Seedlings in a very occult sense, and it's not the feeling of that. The meaning of that isn't widely shared even, but we are all that. Everything that we've done here for the last 6 months has been a kind of planting of seeds, and we've occasionally been very aware of that. When what is presented here suddenly has the prospect of an unfolding through research and discovery that can't really be summed up by the presentation which is being made, it's just an opening. So similarly, we have this, we've gone through many different approaches to knowledge in the last 6 months of seminars. But we haven't yet entered into this domain of inspired poetry. So there's an urge, and you know this urge very well, because the word is somehow beckoning in this context, and it tends to get reduced to more intellectual kinds of explorations. So I just wanted to mention that I think there is something behind that impulse that is quite significant. And at some point, I hope that we can fill this room with that sound. When he mentioned that, immediately I thought of a whole panorama of unfolding of poetry that is possible with Sri Aurobindo's guidance, from very early love poems and early mystical poems to Savitri. There is a development which one can actually go through with him that opens the door to all kinds of mystical inspiration and Vedic transformative speech and many things. So once we pull that plug, you know, in mantra they say that there's a point that comes when in the recitation of the mantra when the cork is removed.
We can combine first introduction and one poem, and then so what you have suggested.
At some point, to experience that removal of the cork through speech is something that we can look forward to in our explorations. So anyway, for the moment, there are many things that have been discussed also in recent weeks about Ubu and Siru and the future, and we've attempted several times during the last 6 months to sum that up and look ahead. So maybe it's time for another summing up and looking ahead.
I'm very happy that you brought in this idea of bringing a higher consciousness in through speech, because I must admit that the reason being absent for a long time was partially practical, because I went to many other things too, but partially also that I had a feeling that that was getting lost, and that we were getting too much into just intellectual exchange, which for me is not interesting.
Actually, since we didn't have a scheduled program, this idea of reading some poetry was to get somewhere and from there. Anyway, but maybe we can talk about, you know, the issues of Ubu, exploring the future of Ubu. Who has already? You had a strong urge in that sense. Maybe you have something you wanted to.
Well, I appreciate actually what just happened those last minutes, because the field is laid out, the aspirations are coming more clear. We're here to invoke a higher consciousness, possibly through the word, And so those people who are new already now have an idea, hey, there's something else going on than just the university and intellectual exchange. And I still think, I believe also, let's say, if we're here in a gathering, I like the spontaneity, let's say, of today. We're in the middle of the season, everything is so full, everything is full booked, yeah, and we had a cancellation, and then we are urged to improvise. And what to do in an improvisation, then we have an opportunity. I mean, everybody is very busy and full with their things. If we gather for a morning together, we really can utilize this gathered energy in its highest sense and highest aspiration. So I still think I'm very open. I'm happy to see that book open also. I know that there's an urge there. And I think I see the gathering in its spontaneity and in its focus for University of Human Unity, that it's like a yajna. We're coming together actually in the sense for me it's almost like a ritual. we're looking for new intellectual rituals. We have our seminars and workshops and talks and presentations and all of that. But in the context of the yoga, I think coming together and putting our minds and hearts and bodies together, this is for me something to do with the right thing. And in a yajna, for instance, if you have a gathering, it's one way crucial to understand what are the different elements in that gathering, and when this is clear, then the offering can be made and be effective. So I think it's furthering to understand what the different input is, so who the people are, what they offer into this gathering for a higher intellectuality or an opening of a higher mind. And from there on we can see what spirit is bringing us to.
So should we just say, so my name is Rudy. I've been here for 2 years, and love very much the idea of this University of Human Unity to thrive and to blossom in the future.
Same way I'm
already
coming.
I'm Rahul. I'm here for a few weeks from Hyderabad. I'm a student in linguistics. Heard a lot of good things about the program here from Bhavna, so I was curious.
Evelyn from
France. I can't hear you, please.
Evelyn from France. Got to run 2 centers in France of yoga and healing. And got some workshops in France, some European friends in the UK and other ones. And I'm coming here. I started in 1988, so it's 20 years, and I'm very much interested in many things in the organs, especially unity, human being.
This is from Korea. I'm here for 3 months and a half. I'm a beginner farmer. I produce green tea.
I'm Helga, and my first contact with Auburn was 78, I was here, so 13 years. And the moment I'm a newcomer, I've been here several times last year. And my aspect is my background is pedagogic psychology and art, and I'm going to bring these aspects together. So I'm working with challenged children, in Tamarai project in Ilya Shabadi, because I have a feeling the desolate network between the heart of Auroville and Auroville, which is going around the whole world. And very soon I also start again to all my art classes in Kalabumi, in my house. Always to opening the mind and using concepts.
My name is John Robert.
I'm a two-year guest living in Verite from the U.S. And I'm touched by the inspiration of this University of Human Unity.
My name is Antonella. I'm a guest. This is the 10th time I come to Tornville. I'm doing research in education after I worked for UNESCO for 18 years. I left UNESCO and I decided to change my life. That's why I'm in Nairobi. And I'm also expert for the University of Florence, the UNESCO chair for the culture of peace. And I would like also to be helped by you in the sense that I'm a little bit lost in my research in education already. That's why I really would like to establish a cooperation with the people.
I'm Edwin from Austria. I've been a teacher of English and history for many years. I love India very much, and I love the Orient because I lived in Egypt and Turkey for 9 years. And half a year I stay in Austria, in Salzburg, and half a year for the last 3 years in Norway.
My name is Rod, and I've been participating in the UHU project for the last year as an educator with an interest in discovery learning, and particularly in this group exploring the possibilities of an integral higher learning process that could lead to a university program that would be different.
My name is Aurelio. I had been working the last 10 years in the grassroots work in the villages around Auroville with music and cultural education. And I have an urge to link again more to a center in Auroville, and I'm happy that I can bring my musical being into the work.
My name is Matthijs. I'm living in the suburb in Warschau, so we are visitors here. I'm deeply interested in the link between yoga on one side and education and psychology on the other side, to see if more of higher and different ways of knowing and consciousness can be brought into these fields. And so for me, UHU is a wonderful place to see if together we can bring more of different way of communicating and thinking and doing research into these areas.
My name is Neeltje. I'm also from the Schiavel in Warschau, originally from the Netherlands, more than 32 years ago. So that's the past. Have been deeply felt that this world needs change, have tried and still trying to do that through education. When I heard the name of human unity, that struck a deep chord in me, thinking that this world needs it very much. And I always thought that education was an entry point, still think that. But what I have come to realize that we as human beings first must change ourselves very deeply. That any structure that you put on yourself will always be distorted by the fact that we are ourselves are not yet ready for. And I got struck very much by some line in the human cycle. Triobindo says that every society always dies by its own development. And there you have it. You go on a certain road and then you go over the top. And again, something new comes up and we repeat this process as humanity, we have repeated it very often. And then his next line is that he says, this proves, he doesn't use the word proof, I don't know his exact words, that till now man has been missing the essence. And the essence, he then says, is the real man, is his soul, and the soul has to come back in everything we do. And we have to see our mind, heart, and body as an instrument for expressing the soul. So be it education, be it economics, and I think you all know it, that this is the first word. More than a couple of times, not more than a couple of times, many times that human unity can never come about before human beings are so when I heard this name, I felt that it was an opportunity. If this name came down by an inspiration, University of Human Unity, that this was also meaning that this was a core element of what this university had to do, to help people to come back to their souls or to express their souls. To bring back the soul in academics. Science being such, I haven't, I have talked about education, but science being such an important element of what human society is going to. So, as long as the soul doesn't come into education, I think there is no chance for humanity, there is no chance for a better world, as long as the soul doesn't come back into academics. So, what brought me here is finding a group of very committed people that would try to find new pathways, new openings, new signposts for this process of finding the soul. I think as we are sitting here, we all have glimpses of our soul, but maybe, at least I for one, have not yet realized psychically. And I do realize that that hampers me in living Trotsky on Lindo and the Mother Monsters. So I look for this group of committed people doing research, coming together, trying to find openings, trying to find pathways in order to express, help others also to find. We know everybody has its own path. But there are signposts that can help you now and then to further go further. So that is, I'm talking very long, I'm sorry, I didn't know that I would talk so long.
It was much needed.
But this is what I hope that the University of Human Unity, at least in its core, will do. Then that other branches may have to account it, that is possible, but this is where I would, like Aurelio said, would want to give my energy, and this is according to me, when this is name, I say more as a sacred name that we have to live out, and not to repeat the university part of the
Thank you.
is from here. Also since more than 30 years associated with the ashram and also I can underline many things which were being said. And for me, the picture just in the beginning, from the beginning of our meeting here, the idea that actually this gathering, or maybe even an university of community, that's a seat or the base is like a yajna. And it came me in the morning also like reading something which he said the word itself was in the beginning in the Vedic vision and in the Vedic sacrifice also you put a word and you put something of yourself, it's just like a jewel or something which is best. And then what Rod said, I had the same experience that many times when somebody gives the best of himself and put it in the circle and some new ideas or some new widening of consciousness and came about. And for me also the main thing I feel it's very exciting that just now 2008, actually before we started, but now it becomes more and more concrete, human unity is starting here in Auroville, and everywhere in the world there's this movement of seeking, and somehow it comes to this. It's only through a change of consciousness we cannot go. We have so many words and we use so many words, but maybe it's really like everybody puts something of his best, like an offering, and from that togetherness something new can come. And about Jnaneshwari, as I also was saying, I had the experience in Pune. My teacher, he was always reading to the villagers, and it was such a beautiful thing. He was first reading in Marathi, and then translating into English, and it has really some cause. And Jnaneshwari was also a very special person, a saint, and I think it will be all very nice. And it gives also really a space of poetry, which is a higher, and then Ben Kuchya, I mean, it's
my name is Vladimir, and I'm here also from in India from 91. I studied Sanskrit and linguistics. My interest, especially in movement, is to develop or to find the way to bring all the branches of knowledge into the focus of one knowledge. Find a way to do it and to make it available for every human being to educate himself in a holistic way. It's a very strange thing, but there was a movie which was called Princess Diary. Maybe you have seen that. A very simple movie from Disney. And the girl discovered that she was a princess when she was 16. And she was in normal school and her grandmother came, she was a queen. And she said, I will teach you what you have to learn to become a queen. I will give you books on history, on literature, on poetry. I will teach you manners, how to behave, how to think, how to speak, how to move. And you will be a queen. And I thought, why don't we learn that? Why don't we learn essentials from all these humanity subjects which will make us kings and queens? Why do we have to study all that, what we have in the world, and to become nothing at the end? We can raise it. There is a way to find essentials and learn them and present them in this holistic vision of education. So it's a simple view, but it has complicated implications. So I'm looking for this emergence of a new paradigm, and we are all trying to exercise it here.
That's like a very big principle.
Thank you.
And there's a poem of Sri Aurobindo about Radha, which is exactly the thing. You know, how to be a perfect soul. We should discover this.
My name is Grace, and I've been in Oroville just a little over 3 years, and I've also been involved with this university group for the past year, and I've just been happy to be a part of this and help hold the space for what I feel is emerging some sort of new way of learning. I mean, I don't know what that is, but I'm happy to be a part of it and learn.
My name is Charles. This is my first visit to India in Orlando. I'm here until May, my wife. In Canada, I've been involved with teaching mathematics at the university level for my adult life. And I'm very much aware of some positive things and some of the negative things. We have classes of 200 students pile into a big room for 50 minutes to do a lecture in mathematics. That's sort of an extreme industrial process in a way. So in my visit to Orville, I'm very interested in learning about what's happening here, what are the ideas related to education, and possibly if I could make some contribution in the future of being involved, I want to explore that.
My name is Ingo, I'm from Switzerland, and I started to find interest in Sri Aurobindo at the age of 16 when I saw the first time the movie about the foundation of Oroville. And then later on I studied psychology and pedagogic at the University of Zurich. And then I was involved in education of handicapped young people in vocational trainings. And I did also a lot of ethnology in India, I was working with the Indian government from 82 to 84 about vocational training of traditional handicrafts in India. And I came to Oroville for the first time in 1973, shortly after Mother had passed away, and since then I visited several times Oroville, and education work, which I did in Switzerland, and then later also I was 8 years running a vocational training center in Tunisia for women about textiles. Then I went back to Switzerland having seminars about gender problems of men and women, and then in 1999 I started to found a own school for adult education in spiritual and psychological and natural healings. This I was running until 2003, and since then I'm in Oroville. In Oroville I was especially involved also with this healings and psychology questions and with the international zone. And I was very happy to hear when the question of the University of Human Unity came up. And I felt that's one of the main reasons Aurobindo should be there. But I always felt, as Aurobindo said in his writings and Mother also, that one of the central reasons is to have a spiritual approach to learning, to education, to understand also in the research what integral yoga means. And I hope that I can contribute a little bit of what I've had as experience, but I also hope to learn more for myself about Sri Aurobindo's and Mother's intentions around science and education. And I hope that one day we will create this body together.
Harbor. No, just to say you're the only one who hasn't. We made the round.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I missed everybody's question. One of our sub-campus councils. My name is Bhavana. I've been in Oregon most of my adult life. I arrived here in 1871, when I was 27. Having not completed my higher education, I thought that I better learn it in life. And I was captivated when I got here. There was a, I don't know what you would call it, a sort of word, a made-up word called Universe City. In Oregon, it was going to be a Universe City. And I find that it is. And the university, just like I didn't complete, you know, like I haven't got my university degree, I feel Oregon also doesn't have its university degree yet. And that this attempt is to establish in Oregon a university level experience for the people who live here and participate in it, and for anyone coming from outside. But it's been repeated again and again in this group, and I like it, that we don't want to fall into the old forms. We're not particularly interested in having a faculty. We're not particularly interested in having a student body. We're definitely not interested in getting accredited and issuing degrees. We can affiliate with such groups, such organizations, institutions outside, and they can arrange to give credit or whatever to people, but we are committed to learning. And in this experience, I really liked best the metaphor that Rod used one time. He said, and in terms of how the intellect is going to relate to the supermental, or what we're aiming at. And that this university is a runway.
So it's a what?
It's a runway.
A runway.
Go very, very fast and then take off. So I like that, and I'm very delighted to have this opportunity to be part of this team. And I've really enjoyed in a deep way. I don't mean to be light about that. I've been very, very stimulated and satisfied by this series of Saturday mornings, and the way that it has the people who cared a lot have done a lot. Like, we have this wonderful website, which now has navigated nicely, thanks to Grace. And we've had the ongoing program, thanks to Rod and Vladimir. And and then even Rod Sumra, you know, like Vladimir has recorded everything that has happened since September. It's all on the website. Rod went through and summarized all those things. Due to the efforts of people, and it's really wonderful. We do have something now. And I'm so glad to be part of it, because I haven't done too much except be present. And hope to do more. So that's fulfilling the need for speaking.
No, that was wonderful, because it was at the same time summarizing things we have been doing and introducing those who come for the first time to the work we have done. And mainly, I feel this, as I said, Barbara, the Saturday mornings that we had here, what happens is that if something happens. This is sort of a character of an event. And I think that's really was, and it's really very special. And that's what this university is about, is to gather, to share knowledge, to learn, but in a way that at the same time it is a lived you know, it's an experience. It becomes an experiential knowledge. So we are lifted up to some to a higher consciousness, and in a way, sometimes have this glimpse of the soul, as I said. You know, there are some on the website. When you click "What is Uhu," there's some inspiring text of Sri Aurobindo. And one he said, "Our idea, therefore, is fixed to become one with God and lead individually the divine life, but also to help others to the divine realization and prepare by any means humanity for the kingdom of God on earth." And as far as interpretation and scriptures and scholars, etc., he says, to understand scripture, it is not enough to be a scholar. One must be a soul. I like this so much. One must be a soul. And, you know, all learning places are full of scholars, universities, etc. And sometimes what actually is needed or what is lacking is the space, the inner time to realize what one is doing, what one is reading, what one is teaching. To have this to have this space to integrate and to come to into the knowledge what is our goal here. So now as for today, Eko said Mark Pisi might come.
Okay.
In the second part, I don't know whether Michael Matthew is coming as well.
Why don't you read it? Because I heard that a couple of times.
Yeah.
I would like to make a little 1 minute exercise together with you, that we come together in our energy, number in the mind, that we come in the soul, that we just take the hands all together and send the energy in a circle from our heart. So let's touch it. Just bend the concentrate on the breathing.
just would like to put that reading in context again. If now in one way we spent the 20 minutes of establishing the field in the horizontal, so you can say the yajna is gathered, and we came in one way, it was announced, to focus on the future of Uhu, and I think like many things in our will, we have the awareness that the real thing is already there. As Bhavana said, the university is happening. So how to align and invoke that real thing? And it came up again and again in our gatherings, the importance of the word. And I think the possibility now plugging into the highest use of the word through sacred poetry, and see actually out of that, out of the rhythm and sound of it, how can that perfection manifest and even touch our physical, material, organizational, structural levels of this university body. So we are here and gathered in the body, we're invoking the spirit in that way, and see also that it is effectuating clarity and action in our endeavor.
I just read a document before. So this was composed in 1200, maybe 18. So the union of Shiva and Shakti. I offer obeisance to the God and Goddess, the limitless primal parents of the universe. And now the poem starts. The lover, out of boundless love, has become the beloved. Both are made of the same substance and share the same food. Out of love for each other, they merge, and again they separate for the pleasure of being two. They are not entirely the same, nor are they not the same. It is impossible to say exactly what they are. Their one great desire is to enjoy themselves, yet they never allow their unity to be disturbed, even as a joke. They are so averse to a separation that even their child, the universe, cannot disturb their union. Though they perceive the universe of inanimate and animate creation emanating from themselves, they do not recognize a third. They sit together on the same ground, wearing the same garment of light. From time past remembrance, they have lived thus, united in bliss. Difference itself merged in their sweet union, when, seeing their intimacy, it could find no duality to enjoy. Because of God, the Goddess exists. And without her, he is not. They exist only because of each other. How sweet is their union! The whole world is too small to contain them, yet they live happily together in the smallest particle. They regard each other as their own self, and neither creates so much as a blade of grass without the other. These two are the only ones who dwell in this home called the universe. When the master of the house sleeps, the mistress stays awake and performs the functions of both. When he awakes, the whole house disappears and nothing is left. They become two for the purpose of diversity, and both are seeking each other for the purpose of becoming one. Each is an object to the other, and both are subjects to each other. Only when together do they enjoy happiness. It is Shiva alone who lives in all forms. He is both the male and the female. It is because of the union of these two that the whole universe exists. Two youths, one note. Two flowers, one fragrance. Two lamps, one light. Two lips, one word. Two eyes, one sight. These two, one universe. Though manifesting duality, these two, the eternal couple, are eating from the same dish. The Shakti, endowed with chastity and fidelity, cannot live without her Lord. And without her, the doer of all cannot be. Since he appears because of her, and she exists because of her Lord, the two cannot be distinguished at all. Sugar and its sweetness cannot be told apart, nor can camphor and its fragrance. If we have the flames, we have also the fire. If we catch hold of Shakti, we have Shiva as well. The sun appears to shine because of its rays, but the rays themselves are produced by the sun. In fact, that glorious sun and its shining are the same. To have a reflection, one must have an object. If we see a reflection, then we infer that an object exists. Likewise, the supreme reality, which is one, appears to be two. Through her, the absolute void became the primal person, Purusha, and she derived her existence from her Lord. Shiva formed her, his beloved himself, and without her presence, no person exists. Because of her form, God is seen in the world, yet it was he who created her, formed of himself. When he embraces her, it is his own bliss that Shiva enjoys. He is the enjoyer of everything, but there is no enjoyment without her. She is his form, but her beauty comes from him. By their intermingling, they are together enjoying this feast. Shiva and Shakti are the same, like air and its motion, or gold and its luster. Fragrance cannot be separated from musk, nor heat from fire, neither can Shakti be separated from Shiva. If night and day were to approach the sun, both would disappear. In the same way, the duality of Shiva and Shakti vanishes when their essential unity is seen.
There's a section in Savitri which is exactly the same as that.
Yes.
Are you aware of it? Are you aware of it?
No. You know, I'm a disciple of all this, so I haven't.
May I read it?
Secret
yes.
knowledge.
I was going to ask.
Secret knowledge.
I know exactly where it is.
There's in all cultures a section about that. In Chinese culture, in Arabic culture as well.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, fascinating.
On the side, like, this big, thick one on the side of the book. Yeah, it looks like.
Prabhupada has a special way of reading Sanskrit. Stresses the mantra a lot.
Well, the difference between Sri Aurobindo's poetry and translation like that is that, as you might know if you've read the future poetry, there's a degree of importance given to the rhythmic aspect of mantric poetry, which we don't actually normally hear or see on the page. And Sri Aurobindo has written at length about it and has employed this principle in all of his poetry. And what I said earlier about the development of poetry that one can go through with Sri Aurobindo, he developed this technique over 50 years of yogic work and poetic work. And so the result is really something extraordinary. To be explored. So this is a self-contained section from Canto 4 of Book 1. Which I believe says exactly the same thing as that. This is the knot that ties together the stars. The two who are one are the secret of all power. The two who are one are the might and right in things. His soul, silent, supports the world and her. His acts are her commandments' registers. Happy, inert, he lies beneath her feet. His breast he offers for her cosmic dance, of which our lives are the quivering theater, and none could bear but for his strength within, yet none would leave because of his delight. His works, his thoughts have been devised by her. His being is a mirror vast of hers. Active, inspired by her, he speaks and moves. His deeds obey her heart's unspoken demands. Passive, he bears the impacts of the world as if her touches shaping his soul and life. His journey through the days is her sun march. He runs upon her roads, hers is his course. A witness and student of her joy and dole, a partner in her evil and her good, he has consented to her passionate ways. He is driven by her sweet and dreadful force. His sanctioning name initials all her works. His silence is his signature to her deeds. In the execution of her drama's scheme, in her fancies of the moment and its mood, in the march of the obvious ordinary world, where all is deep and strange to the eyes that see, and nature's common forms are marvel wefts. She, through his witness sight and motion of might, unrolls the material of her cosmic act, her happenings that exalt and smite the soul. Her force that moves, her powers that save and slay. Her word that in the silence speaks to our hearts. Her silence that transcends the summit word. Her heights and depths to which our spirit moves. Her events that weave the texture of our lives. And all by which we find or lose ourselves. Things sweet and bitter, magnificent and mean, things terrible and beautiful and divine, her empire in the cosmos she has built. He is governed by her subtle and mighty laws. His consciousness is a babe upon her knees. His being a field of her vast experiment. Her endless space is the playground of his thoughts. She binds to knowledge of the shapes of time and the creative error of limiting mind and chance that wears the rigid face of fate and her sport of death and pain and nescience, his changed and struggling immortality. His soul is a subtle atom in a mass. His substance, a material for her works. His spirit survives amid the death of things. He climbs to eternity through being's gaps. He is carried by her from night to deathless light. This grand surrender is his free will's gift, his pure transcendent force submits to hers. In the mystery of her cosmic ignorance, in the insoluble riddle of her play, a creature made of perishable stuff, in the pattern she has set for him, he moves. He thinks with her thoughts. With her trouble, his bosom heaves. He seems the thing that she would have him seem. He is whatever her artist will can make. Although she drives him on her fancy's roads, at play with him as with her child or slave, to freedom and the eternal's mastery and immortality's stand above the world, she moves her seeming puppet of an hour. Even in his mortal session in body's house, an aimless traveler between birth and death, ephemeral, dreaming of immortality, to reign she spurs him. He takes up her powers. He has harnessed her to the yoke of her own law. His face of human thought puts on a crown. Held in her leash, bound to her veiled caprice, he studies her ways as if so he may prevail even for an hour and she work out his will. He makes of her his moment passion's serf. To obey, she feigns. She follows her creature's lead. For him she was made, lives only for his use. But conquering her, then is he most her slave. He is her dependent. All his means are hers. Nothing without her he can. She rules him still. At last he wakes to a memory of self. He sees within the face of deity. The Godhead breaks out through the human mold. Her highest heights she unmasks and is his mate. Till then, he is a plaything in her game. Her seeming regent, yet her fancy's toy, a living robot moved by her energy's springs. He acts as in the movements of a dream, an automaton stepping in the grooves of fate. He stumbles on, driven by her whip of force. His thought labors, a bullock in time's fields. His will, he thinks his own, is shaped in her forge. Obedient to world nature's dumb control, driven by his own formidable power, his chosen partner in a titan game, her will he has made the master of his fate, her whim the dispenser of his pleasure and pain. He has sold himself into her regal power for any blow or boon that she may choose. Even in what is suffering to our sense, he feels the sweetness of her mastering touch. In all experience meets her blissful hands. On his heart he bears the happiness of her tread and the surprise of her arrival's joy in each event and every moment's chance. All she can do is marvelous in his sight. He revels in her, a swimmer in her sea, a tireless amateur of her world delight. He rejoices in every thought and act, and gives consent to all that she can wish. Whatever she desires, he wills to be. The spirit, the innumerable one, he has left behind his lone eternity. He is an endless birth in endless time, her finite's multitude in an infinite space.
just want to say something to the challenge of possibly of Ugu in the future. It's for me what I understand in the duality is the content and the spirit we're invoking and how it's expressing itself in a form. In form and programming. As I see, I think for all of us, because we are idealists, it's very easy to stay in the content and in the beauty and in the connection with spirit. And usually when we go into organizational and structural work, then we fall out of that unity. And for me, actually, one aspiration, if a work, I say, with the core of the group in Uhu, is to experience the unity between the ideal and the ground realities. That's a difficult apparently to take, but in the reading it's very beautiful. There is no separation, but I know, for instance, from that last half year, how much partly we struggled also in manifesting structure. But Bhavana said it also very nicely that we actually manifested in keeping to the core and keeping to the spirit of it, the website and recordings and contacts and the programs you offered in Pondi also, that they are actually manifesting. But I see that work of unity, it's for us, it's very easy to be in the idealistic state and connect and have that soul connection. How is the soul manifesting and expressing itself in our daily reality here in Auroville, in the Indian context and in the global context? And so I see this is actually, how to say, this is a promising challenge in front of us also to bring our inspiration into form and communication.
It reminds me a little bit what we said like last time about sacred architecture. If you see Auroville itself like a spiral, so it's not directly that what is in the middle can be outside, but it's something like a way, like a labyrinth maybe, which has to be translated. Maybe we have just to learn how to translate.
Continue with this discussion or have a break?
Does it look like there's tea there?
Yeah.